Welcome this evening to Cabinet. This meeting will be recorded and the sound recording is ultimately made available via the Council website. In addition,
that's way better, isn't it? So this meeting will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available via the Council's website. In addition, under local authorities, executive arrangements, meetings and access to information on England Regulations 2012, other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any such images or sound recordings is not under the Council's control. So welcome. So apologies for absence. We have an apology, I think, from Councillor Owen, who is otherwise detained. If Her Majesty please. Are there Christmas party? Any other apologies? No? Any disclosures of pecuniary or personal interest that anyone would like to make? Leaders' announcements concerned. On Monday, December the 11th, we were called to support the emergency services following reports of an explosion and a house being damaged in Arlington, Ryan and Birstall. I would firstly like to express our sincerest condolences to the family of Jan Jasper, who was sadly killed in the incident. I would also like to thank the Birstall Community Emergency Services and Council staff who rallied around to help those affected. There has been a real sense of community spirit for everyone involved, and the support has been invaluable. We have been in touch with a number of people since Monday to offer support and advice on housing, and we will continue to support people in the coming weeks regarding their housing needs. This was a tragic event which has shocked the community, and our thoughts are with everyone involved at this difficult time. Minutes of the previous meeting. So we have minutes to approve, and I believe there may be an amendment moved to the previous minutes. Councillor, oh, by the way, if anyone can introduce themselves when they speak, that would be useful as well. Thank you for the record.
Councillor Besser, I would like to propose a minor amendment on page 4. Under resolve item 1, having first of all remembered what we intended to say, and secondly, having checked the order in recording, to delete the word the and add the word the before Loughborough and add area after, so that we that further work is undertaken to approach sites for central in the Loughborough area.
So with those amendments included, is everyone happy to accept minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much. Okay, questions under Cabinet Procedure 10.7. We haven't had any questions submitted. So we're now on to item 6, which is the Leicester and Leicestershire Street Growth Plan, which also includes an OSG report. So I invite Councillor Taylor to the table. And Councillor Hardy, if you'd like to introduce the item. And then possibly ask Councillor Taylor to present the OSG report.
Yes, thank you, Leader, Councillor Eckhardy. The main purpose of this report is to seek your approval on the draft Leicester and Leicestershire Strategic Growth Plan, endorsing the process which has been undertaken to develop it, and to agree a consultation process and timetable as outlined in the report. Councillors, we need to work differently when planning for future homes and employment, but also transport connectivity. There needs to be a greater connectivity between districts, the city, and indeed surrounding counties. A more joined-up approach, if you like. Recognising the strategic importance of this county as an economic driver and a great place to live and work. The strategic growth plan will therefore focus on four key matters: delivering new housing, supporting the economy, identifying essential infrastructure, and protecting our environment and built heritage. Our past planning relied on a focus around the PUAs, such as we have seen in the North East Leicester and the West Upper plans. Clearly that approach is not sustainable. We need to look at better, more effective and efficient planning for our county as a whole. This draft consultation document suggests a way to deliver our needs with a more pragmatic approach. The devil, they say, is in the detail, and I'll hand over to Richard later to illuminate matters further and answer your question. But first, perhaps Deborah to give her report. Thank you.
Good evening, Governor and Councillor Taylor. I think the members of the committee were quite aware that we've had a couple of briefings on this, so they're all quite clued up on what was happening and what was included. We were given details about how the process is going to happen in the new year, going out to consultation, then it will come back, and all the other districts will also be going out to consultation, hopefully at approximately the same time, and we'll all come to an agreement that everyone approves it. We were aware that there could be, very unlikely, but there could be a major impact if one of the districts don't approve it through the consultation, so that is a risk that is quite prevalent and could happen, but highly unlikely at this late stage. We're aware that there is a lot of housing there that the child would need to accommodate, but the majority of that is already in our local plan, and even with the changes that are announced by the government, that there could be different rates of housing that we have to accommodate, they're not dissimilar from what's already in the local plan, so there wasn't too much concern about the amount of housing that the child are going to have to take. So we were quite happy with it, happy with the report, really detailed, and we were happy to say that it goes out to consultation in the new year.
Are there any questions of clarity for Councillor Taylor? Thank you very much, Marcus. Thank you. Right, if I can invite Richard Bennett to the table to present the report, and also Ian as well.
Good evening, members. Richard Bennett, Head of Planning and Regeneration. The report, as Councillor Vardy explained earlier, seeks to set out the work that's been carried out so far in the development of the strategic growth plan for Leicester and Leicestershire. And it seeks your approval tonight of a consultation process, not the document itself, but the consultation process and its timetable. In recognition of the corporate plan objective to create a strong and lasting economy, I think it's fair to say that this council has played an active and very significant role in the strategic planning agenda, along with Leicester and Leicestershire authorities and the LEP. The main focus of that activity has been to cooperate on the strategic planning issues, including employment and housing land provision, and that which affects local plans that are emerging through the process now. So that work has been expressed through a project to prepare a non-statutory strategic growth plan that aims to provide agreements about the long-term needs of the area, which is 2050, and that will therefore fulfil the statutory duty to cooperate on those local plans that are emerging. So the project is being overseen by the Member Advisory Group, which Councillor Vardy is this council's representative, and is supported by the Strategic Planning Group. So just to remind members, an issues document and programme plan was last considered by Cabinet back in July 2016, and that was subject to consultation in the August and September. And the responses have been considered in preparing the draft plan, which is contained in Appendix A and Part B of the report for you tonight. And a series of technical briefings have also been held for borough councillors since then, to keep them abreast of progress and emerging evidence. And I think the document talked about three separate technical briefings that we've held, and that's been a very positive exercise, I think, from the feedback we've had from councillors. The draft plan itself sets out a long-term planning framework for growth, specifically the scale and distribution of future jobs and homes, and that there will be planned for through those urban plans moving forward. So the report before you explains the proposed consultation arrangements for the draft plan. There will be a minimum level of consultation across the Leicester and Leicestershire areas set out in paragraph 3.1 of the participant report. It's up to each of the partners to decide whether they want to do more than the base minimum as per their local practice or desire. The consultations programmes commence in the week of the 8th of January, the new year, and will last for 12 weeks. And at this stage, members are invited to note the process, which has been followed to prepare that plan, and to recognise it's been endorsed by the member advisory group. And in doing so, you're invited to approve the consultation process and timetable. It's worth noting that a further report will be made in probably March, recommending this council's formal response to the draft plan proposals. So you're not asked to consider that tonight. And it's then expected that all of the consultation responses and a final version of the plan will be brought back to Cabinet probably around autumn 2018 for final endorsement. Responses can be sent directly to the Strategic Growth Plan website, and that'll be the place which will collate the responses.
Any questions for anyone else?
Thank you, Richard. Could I just go on from what you've just said? In 3.1, it says the detail and extent of conservation that take place will vary, needs to be in a group minimum standard. Nothing seems to be agreed yet, but it seems to start on the 8th of January. So, is the details in 3.4, detail about nature and any consultation events is yet to be confirmed. So, will a consultation start on the 8th of January, or will it be at some stage after the 8th when you decide the details? Does that make sense?
Through you, Chair. The expectation is that consultation will commence in the week of the 8th of January, so it could be the Monday, it could be the Friday. That's the current position. So the details are set out in 3.2 as to the approach that we've taken on public consultation. I am aware that there was a meeting of the Strategic Planning Group yesterday, where further discussions have been had about how the consultation will be put together. So it is a challenging timetable, but it is one that Student Planning Group is happy can be fulfilled so that the consultation will run in January.
Eileen Miles, Strategic Director. Thank you, Linda. Just to add to what Richard's saying, at the Strategic Growth Plan meeting we had yesterday, there's been a different approaches to this through each authority. Obviously, we're all different. We've done a number of briefings for members, technical briefings throughout the process. Others perhaps haven't done quite so much, and others have done something different. And we're all going to use the same materials for the consultation. So individuals, for example, will all have the same leaflets. We're going to have the same design for all the displays. We can have those in whatever format we want. So each individual local authority will then decide for their own purposes how they want the bespoke materials to be. So we could have a number of different exhibitions in different locations, a number of different types of leaflet, but all the content will be consistent. It will just be some people might do a number of different locations, some might do leave enough to each individual authority to decide, but the information itself will be consistent amongst us all.
Having the same trouble as you. Will you be formally asking parish councils for their input during the consultation period, or is it down to members to warn their parish councils to put something in?
Through you, Chair, and through our normal communications team, we'll be doing a media release about the plan and how people can get engaged in that process, so that will be sent out to parish councils and as well as the press, so there'll be an opportunity for notification.
Are there any other questions? No questions. Thank you very much. So, Councillor Barley, would you like to summarise and move the officer recommendations and the reasons why, and also noting the OSD report?
Yeah, thank you. Yes, I'd like to move the recommendations on 1-4. On page 1 of the your report, for the reasons given, 1-4, on the same page. I'd like to thank OSG for their thorough examination of this process. I think it's again would prove the worth the value of our scrutiny group.
Councillor Barker, would you like to second this?
I'd
have
to second that leader.
Okay, we can see all those in favour. That's everyone. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Good job. Thank you very much.
Right, we can move on to item 7, which is the Arkansas Neighbourhood Plan. I'm going to invite Rebecca Rain to join Richard Bennett. Richard, you should know the left. Current chair. At the table, and also Councillor Barley, if you'd like to introduce this item.
Yes, thank you. Yes, this report asks you to consider examiner's recommendations of the strategic environmental assessment for Barrow-upon-Soar neighbourhood plan, and whether to hold a local referendum to determine whether there is support for the plan. I think this is useful to remind you that what a neighbourhood plan must include. It must support sustainable development, generally conform to the strategic policies of the local plan, have regard to the national planning policies, and specify the period it will cover. The Barrow-upon-Soar neighbourhood plan has been produced by the Barrow-upon-Soar neighbourhood plan steering group. This steering group has been supported by officers from the council throughout the preparation of the plan. We should note that the resultant plan has not been prepared by the borough council. There is a slight departure from the normal revised wording put forward by the steering group. And I'll let Richard and Rebecca explain that to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Barley, for your leader. Richard Bennett, Head of Planning and Regeneration, and I'm joined this evening by Rebecca Rain, who's the officer that's been leading on this plan on behalf of the Borough Council. As Councillor Barley says, the report seeks consideration of the examiner's recommendations into the Barrow neighbourhood plan and the assessment carried out to assess the compliance of the proposals against the strategic environmental assessment rules. That's been the technicality of the process that we have to go through for preparing neighbourhood plans. Members will probably be aware that communities are actually well engaged in neighbourhood planning in Charnwood, with 8 plans currently in train and 1 plan completed, which is the one at Burkeston. So the next plan reaching maturity is the Barrow-upon-Soar neighbourhood plan. That's the plan that we're talking about tonight. As you're aware, neighbourhood plans have a key role to play in delivering corporate plan objectives, particularly in creating a strong and lasting economy, taking action on protecting the environment and in supporting towns and villages to thrive. It is right that the process for preparing neighbourhood plans is somewhat complicated and it's set out in regulations. So there are rules governing how the plan is prepared and when key stages must be met. And importantly, as Councillor Barley said, neighbourhood plans must be genuinely led by the local community or the neighbourhood plan group in this case, and not by the council. So the role of the council is actually to provide support and guidance and to arrange the examination and referendum. And ultimately, the council must adopt the plan if there is a successful referendum. So if the plan is adopted, it then forms part of the development plan for the borough alongside the local plan. So it's a key, or it's the starting point for decisions when planning applications are submitted for the borough area. The council is assisted by grant from DCRG at key stages in the process, and members may have seen from the report that it may draw down £20,000 to offset the cost of examination, referendum, and the office of time that's been involved. So that's very welcome. Part B of the report then explains the history of the Barrow Neighbourhood Plan, starting in February 2014. When the neighbourhood area was formally designated. A draft plan underwent public consultation in June-July 2016 and was then submitted to the council for examination in February 2017. Following further consultation on the submitted plan, an examination was held in June this year, and the inspector's report was then issued shortly afterwards. A summary of the inspector's recommendations is set out in Appendix A, part B of the report, along with the neighbourhood plan group's response to those. And the group agreed all of the recommendations except one, relating to the cumulative transport impacts of development under policy BUS 15. Their concern was that the inspector's recommendation removed some of the precision of the policy, and they therefore proposed revised wording, and that's set out at the top of page 8. Further consultation was carried out with the agreement of the lead member, Councillor Vardy, on the 4th of October, 6 weeks, about that revised wording, and that was targeted to the people that previously responded to the plan. And officers have considered whether a change to the inspector's recommendations can be made under the rules, and the conclusion is that it can. And to accommodate this, the plan has been brought to Cabinet earlier in the process than would normally be. So the amendment can be considered before the referendum is carried out. So if Cabinet is minded to agree with the recommendations as amended, then the referendum will be arranged and held within 56 days of the decision being made. So that's on or before the 15th of February. And if the referendum supports the making of the plan, it must then be adopted by the Council on or before the 12th of April. As I mentioned earlier, there's a further requirement on this as part of the process to assess if the plan meets the rules for strategic environmental assessment, and that's in terms of whether there are likely to be any significant environmental effects arising from the planner's policies. We've done that assessment, and the conclusions are that the plan has met all the rules and that it is compliant. So that compliance statement is set out in Appendix B of the report. So, therefore, the recommendations before you tonight are to consider approving the inspector's recommendations as amended by that revised wording we spoke about, and to note the results of the strategic environmental assessment compliance statements set out in recommendations 1, 2, and 3 on the front of the report. And then you are then invited to consider publishing those decisions and to hold a referendum to determine support for the plan. Finally, if the referendum results in support for the plan, you're asked to consider giving the head of planning and regeneration delegated authority to formally make the plan part of the development plan within the time period prescribed in the regulations. I'll just take any questions here.
Thank you very much, Richard, for the very full explanation. I have to say it's very good that this has come forward. I know our particular fair number of discussions about planning over the last few years. So they've actually come forward with their own plan in this way, and also to see that with a few revisions that it's a succinct and a full document. I think it's very, very good testament to the relationship and the work relationship, I think, between you, Rebecca, and also with our town council as well. So any questions for anyone else to ask?
Councillor Smithers. Really some clarification, Richard. On page 8, where it talks about the necessary deployment of 10 drones, am I right in thinking we're talking about S106 contributions from buildings with 10 properties? Was that all wrong?
Not specifically. The 10 dwelling threshold relates to evidence that was gathered through the Baron Sarpin transport study, which concluded that there was a certain capacity for further development within those communities, and that beyond that, any further development would have to be small scale, no greater than 10 dwellings. Otherwise, if it was larger, we'd have to show there'd be no detriment to the highway network. So that is a complicated explanation, but it links back to the evidence that was prepared by the Highway Authority about transport network in the Barrow area.
So we can come back on that later. So I appreciate that they say it won't have any impact on the road area. But it's actually the Section 106 contribution to the fund, as it were, that I was curious about. If that's gone now, it's a thing of the past. Because it was 10 properties in the past, wasn't it? That there was a requirement to provide some money.
Through you, Leader, I think, Councillor, you're referring to the threshold for affordable housing provision, which is...
Well, just for that.
Yes. So if there would be a requirement for off-site contributions towards the highway network, that could be at any point.
Right.
Doesn't
have to be a threshold
of 10.
Right. Thank you.
Any other questions? I can see our young, interesting chair of planning sitting in the background who will no doubt appreciate this neighbourhood plan coming to this meeting. So if I cross over to Councillor Varley to sum up, that'd be great.
Yes, thank you, Leader. Just like to thank Rebecca. This has not been a standard sort of procedure here because there's been slightly partial to deal with this variation that we've been talking about. So you've done a good job there in bringing the parties together, so to speak, to come a practical, workable outcome. Thank you very much for that. So, Leader, yes, thank you. I'd like to recommend to ask you to recommend the items 1 to 5 on page 1 of the report, for the reasons given 1 to 5 on page 1 and 2. Thank you.
Margaret, can I ask you a second?
Yes, thank you, Councillor Lewis. Yes, I am happy to support that recommendation in the proposal.
Thank you very much. Can I see those in favour of the recommendations? Thank you very much. That's everyone. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, we're now to item 8, additions to the annual procurement plan for 2017-2018. Can I invite Dave Hackins to the table? Already again. Speedwork. Councillor Barkley, I'm going to ask you to introduce the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Leah. After the Machiavellian complexities of the planning, this is a fairly straightforward report. I have to say that the procurement process is not always straightforward. We did have an annual procurement plan for the whole year of August on the 16th of March, which was amended on the 6th of July and 21st of September. And this is a further update, which splits out the contracts between 25 and 75,000 and 75 and 500,000, as listed on page 5 and 6. David looks after contracts and procurement, and I'll ask him now to add anything that he feels relevant to it. Thank you.
As always, Councillor Barker has introduced the answer very thoroughly. I don't think there's an awful lot that I can.
Thank you very much. Okay, can I have any questions that anyone would like to ask around the report? There are no questions, Tommy.
which allows contracts of the council to be let in accordance with the contract procedure rules.
Thank you very much, and can I ask Councillor Boker to second?
I'll second that. Thank you
very much. Can I see a show of hands in favour of the report? Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you very much. So now on to item 9, which is the draft general fund and HR budget 2018-2019. Can I invite Claire Watson to the table? And Councillor Barclay, would you like to introduce the item?
Thank you, Leader. This is the draft proposed budget for 2018-2019, which will go out to consultation and come back to us in February at full council. The proposals put before us are that, as you can see, we have a budget which maintains all services. We will be using £1.5 million worth of reserves that we have accumulated over the years. But even at the end of that period, at the end of the financial year ending the 31st of March 2019, we'll still have about £8.5 million worth of reserve balances, so we're not about to hit the rocks. But I wouldn't like to leave you with the impression that we do not have work to do. Overall, we have efficiencies within this budget of 178,000. We probably need to be aiming towards saving 500,000 a year. If we continue at the rate of saving a net saving of 178,000 over 3 years, that won't present a problem to us. You may well ask why we're using the reserves. Well, one of the reasons is our revenue support grants come down by 520,000. Our new homes bonus has reduced by 414,000, leaving us shorter than we were the previous year at 934,000. The main budget pressures are planning is 212,000. Homeless Reduction Act is costing us some more money to reduce homelessness, and also reviewing the whole of our property, which is going to cost us some money. There's no increase to this blood for special rate. We're going to increase the general rate by £5. We anticipate the minimum reserve balance because of the uncertainties it faces. This budget is produced before we actually know the new homes bonus or the central government funding. We won't know that till Christmas Eve. The housing revenue account is in a very strong position. We have a surplus of 383,000 next year. We've made huge progress in our housing stamp. You will see when we come to the capital plan how much we're going to spend. It's really heartening considering how poor our housing was 10 years ago under the previous administration. We have made giant strides, and we have a higher standard than required, the Charnwood standard, where we're meeting all our obligations to our residents, and you see later on a new housing contract coming forward. So, overall, Claire and the team have to put a lot of work into it. There is a certain amount of magic in this, as I said, and we will see what the end figures are. I can't emphasise enough how much uncertainty there is until we get the inputs into the system. It's very difficult to have a firm budget, but I'm confident that our officers have done a good job. And I'll ask them now just to get over the bits and pieces. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Barclay. I'm afraid I left my wand back in the office, so Councillor Barclay's word for the magic bit. Councillor Barclay's already mentioned that we haven't yet received the finance settlement from the central government, so the draft budget will of course need to be updated once those numbers are available. We're also waiting to hear whether the council, along with the rest of the Leicestershire pool, have been successful in their application to become 100% business rate retention pilot area for 2018-19. The pilot scheme has a no worse off element, therefore any change in that respect would be to the benefit of Charnwood. The other pending amendment is the payoff by the national employers for local government services, which has gone to unions for consideration in early December. Figures based upon the two-year offer are currently being worked up and will be included in the final budget. Based on calculations that we've done to date, it's thought at this point that overall the pay increase would amount to around 2.16% in year one for Charnwood. Obviously, there are different levels across different pay scales. The draft budget had included 1% pay increase across the board. This equates to somewhere in the region of an additional 210,000 over and above the budget figure. However, this is affordable within current reserve levels, and we can take into account future year's budgets when we're setting expenditure levels and looking at higher efficiencies. The final budget, with any amendments, including those I've mentioned, will come back to Cabinet on the 15th of February and is subject to Council approval on the 26th of February. It will have been updated for the changes mentioned. However, because of the Council's prudent approach in the previous years, we're confident any negative changes will be absorbed within the reserve levels and will still maintain our minimum level of reserves. This draft budget indicates a shortfall of around £1.5 million in the general fund for 2018-19. Within this figure, there are new net service pressures post the NTFS of £192,000. As Councillor Barker mentioned, of this, £370,000 relate to one-off pressures, so there is a net efficiency going beyond 18-19 to £178,000. The budget also assumes council tax for bounty properties will increase by £5, taking it to £112.09 in 2018-19. Despite the recent increase to 0.5%, UK-based rates are still low, and this will continue to have a negative effect on council's income from investments. However, despite this, projected income from interest payments has been increased to £300,000, a budgeted figure of £30,000 in 2017-18. The basis of the projected interest rate income has been reviewed in line with the Council's decision as part of its treasury management strategy to allow loans of up to 2 years to the local authorities and also to look at investments in property loans. Coupled with our above benchmark investment income returns, this is why we've actually increased the projection, and it is based on levels that we're achieving at the moment. In terms of the housing revenue account, the most notable financial issue is the continuation of the 4% rent reduction, which was announced in the Chancellor's 2015 summer budget. Along with an increased capital programme and net pressures of £489,000 for this account, as detailed in Appendix 1, this would lead to a projected surplus of £383,000 in 2018-19, which is markedly lower than the £2.2 million surplus
this
year. However, again, we don't foresee any issues.
Thank you very much for that. I'm sure we have probably questions on this budget. I noted the reference to 9% for the year just gone, and as a result, we were able to draw from reserves or actually add it back to reserves. What was our original target for prediction for our budget on what we were due to actually take from reserves?
If you have a look at Table 1 on page 7, you can see that the amount that we were expecting to draw from reserves, the bottom table, towards the top of that table, was £930,000.
In which case, I'll make my annual statement, which is past performance in Charles' case, often as a prediction of future performance. I say it every single year. But thank you very much for that. But can I have any other questions?
Yes. One thing that I've been pleased to hear is the fact that he talked about a potential 2.17% increase of average for our staff. I think that's long overdue. And I know know the environment that we're working in, it's very difficult, but our staff here work extremely hard, and I think that I'm pleased to see this, and whatever we can afford in the future, but I'm pleased to see that in the accounts for this year.
Thank you, Leader. As we said, thank you for the full explanation of where we are. The shortfall that we've got is covered very much by the underspend last year. We said 930,000. The shortfall and reduction in new homes bonus was, and also the revenue support grant is equating to what we underspent last year, which is quite useful. But we do have challenges going forward, as indicated by the medium-term financial strategy. I would also endorse Councillor Vardy's comments on the pay increases, which are, I'm sure, welcomed by staff, for all staff apart from time. I'm joking. Just in case I was recording it. So, I'd like to make the recommendation on page one that Cabinet endorses for consultation with the General Fund and HRA revenue budgets for 2018-19 set out in tables 1 and 4, and the local special expenses budget and levy for 2018-19 is set out on Appendix 1 for the reasons to provide the opportunity for consultation on the budgets for 2018-19 as well as potential pressures and savings.
Right, can I ask you to give a second?
I second that, Chair.
Can I see everyone in favour of that recommendation? Thank you, that's everyone. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for that. Right, move on to item 10 now, which is the capital plan amendment report, where we have an OSG report as well. So can I invite Councillor Taylor to the table, and Councillor Barth, can you introduce the item, and then pass over to Councillor Taylor to present the OSG report. Thank you.
So this is an amendment to the original capital plan for 2017 to 2019. The items that are in it are digital democracy is costing us 15,000. The core secure system to secure our payment system is 40,000. And choice-based letting software scheme, 35,000 is going to be added to that. And also the Nanpantan tennis courts are going to be refurbished mainly with external money. Overview and scrutiny have looked at this report, and I will ask Deborah to present her report, and I think Deborah, if I could ask you to present your report.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. The overview scrutiny, if you're happy to put those recommendations forward, I'll just give you a little bit on each one. The digital democracy, they were really pleased to see that coming in, but there was concern with members about how they would operate the new system, and we were pleased to hear that training will be provided for us members to try and cope with that, and that it will sort of break itself even with the cost of printing and staff time. And the new core system, there was a need for that to be updated to ensure we're fully compliant, but there was, we've pointed out, there's still further work to do to make us fully compliant, but this will put us well on the way to get into that. The choice-based letting software was something that we were concerned whether the software had actually been chosen yet, but we were confirmed that this was just put in the budget ready for us to go and look for a new system. And we did point out as well with the new Homelessness Act coming in next year that this system will probably have to be a lot more robust and we'll need a lot more work doing to it. So I just want to come and speak away when they do actually look at the new provider that's covered. The Nanpantan Tennis Court, that was just the name of the cost to the council for that one, and the Green Spaces Programme. This was slippage, but this was due to external funding that's not going to be available till summer 2018.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions of clarity to Councillor Taylor? No, in that case, thank you very much. If I can ask Claire Hodgson to come to the table. Thank you.
totals around about 19.8 million and statistically funded. Schemes are monitored on an ongoing basis and any issues will be brought back to Cabinet in the future Capital Fund Amendment Report. Appendix 1 shows the details of decisions and amendments, and the current capital plan, including these amendments, is set out in detail in Appendix 2.
Thank you very much. Have we got any questions at all? Is everything very, very clear? Ah, we have a Councillor Vardy question. I think it might be a question.
Just a point of clarity, really. Just and it really is just that, we talk about now. Nampanton Tennis Court's refurbished scheme is talked about in the recommendations, but in the body of the report it talks about as being a club. Can you just tell me if there, that is would be sort of general public to be able to access the courts if they require to be members, so it's not a closed club, is it?
Thank you,
Councillor
Vardy. As far as I'm aware, it's not.
Application for joining Nampanton Tennis Court. In the interim, if I could make recommendations 1 to 5 on page 1 for the reasons 1 to 5 on page 1.
Councillor Roddy, can I ask you to second that if doubles?
There's eight comments. Yes, our pleasure in seconding that report.
Thank you very much. Can I see those in favour? That's the answer. Thank you very much. Okay, if we move to item 11 in that case, which is the draft capital plan 2018-2019 to 2020-2021. Councillor Barker, can I ask you to
introduce that? Thank you, Vigia. So this is a brand new capital plan covering the next 3 years, commencing 1st of April 2018. It's good news. We are going to be spending $6 million in general fund projects and over the next 3 years, and we will be investing $17.3 million in our housing stock. The details of all the capital plans under the directorates are outlined at the back. One thing I would say is that on Appendix 1, there is a reference to the Allendale Road on the cemetery provision. Obviously, that is now back out for reassessment, so that will not apply. I think it is a consultation document. We are going out there. The plan is fully funded, and we indeed have an additional 1.2 million in a capital reserve plan. So you can see it's a good indication of what we're achieving over the next 3 years in terms of spending capital. The process that we go through is a well tried and tested route. Heads of service discuss with lead members how we can achieve our corporate plan and appraise the schemes, and they're fully monitored and costed. This is just a rough indication at the moment, and the schemes will be worked up simply with the housing revenue account. So, if I can ask there to any bits and pieces that are necessary to add.
Thank you, Councillor Barker. As Councillor Barker pointed out, there is an error in Appendix 1, which was put together in advance of amendments to the Loughborough Cemetery's new burial provision paper. I do have an amended version here, which I will read slowly so you've got a chance to write that down. So what it should read in the scheme description is that the cemetery has approximately 5 years of burial spaces left and will be full to capacity by 2022. The council has commissioned an independent feasibility report to assess potential sites within the council's ownership to create a robust business case for the scheme. Once identified, works will include sympathetic landscape design, internal surface pathways for public recreation and access to graves, vehicular access, egress and gateage of the highway, car parking and improved local biodiversity. So we've removed any reference to a specific site because obviously we are looking at sites that are available. So I can send that to Laura if you didn't get it. I think the only other thing that really needs to be mentioned is when you look at Appendix 1 for the general fund, in a slight change to the last capital plan, the schemes are split by directorate and also by those delivered directly by the council and those that are delivered indirectly, so for example through the offer of grants. That's really all I need to say.
Do we have any questions on the paper?
Can I ask on Bedford Square Gate, does this mean that this is in theory or is this set in stone? Because certainly the feedback I've had, not having been told what the results of the consultation process, because apparently it's sort of months in the process. There's certainly been intense opposition from residents and shopkeepers to plans, suggestions that parking in Bedford Square should be removed. So the fact that this is here, does that have any significance at all?
This is an amount set aside to improve the quality of the public realm. I believe it's still subject to the mutual consultation processes. So this is actually getting into the capital plan. If I can draw your attention to the fact that it's in 2019-20, that does suggest that there will be some discussions underway before an actual scheme does come to fruition.
Yes, if I could help clarify Bedford Square, this is the actual redevelopment of that area of town into something more jazzy. Party stuff. So it's not the car parking issue as such, that which is more in the master plan. Okay, so this is about streets, street restaurants and all the rest of it. And also my second point is that under the cemetery provision, it's slightly incorrect to say that we are looking at only sites within the council's control, because there might be other proposals, other situations, other options that we can look at, and I can't specify those at this point.
Any other questions or statements that we all wish to make?
Councillor Smithers, I wasn't hesitating on this one, but it was just as that end of town, the gateway area is mentioned, certainly parking, but it's just a reminder, it's the word jazzy that's making me think about it, but that end of the beach yard area is very much conservation, which I would like to keep as conservation, but if there's such a thing as jazzy conservation, that's one.
Just to clarify, there is such a thing as jazzy conservation.
Okay. I think it's worth stating that this is very much a draft document, subject to a lot of further work of schemes that would come forward in the normal process.
meetings have been worked up, appraised and approved. I would like to note the amendments as proposed by the Head of Finance and Property, Claire Hodgson, and also Councillor Boker, if we could note those amendments to the actual wording on the plan. And I would like to make recommendations that Cabinet endorses for consultation the draft capital plan for 18-19 to 2020-21 for the recommended general fund and HRA schemes and to enable the consultation of the draft plan so that it can become based on the capital spending for the council.
Thank you very much. Can I ask Councillor Roper for 2 seconds?
I will second that. Thank you
very much. Can we see hands in favour? That's everyone. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Right, we're now on to item 12, which is amendments to appointments to outside bodies for 2017 to 18. I'm actually going to introduce a comment and thank you that Councillor Poland is otherwise. This is the purpose of the course to make amendments to the appointments of council representatives on outside bodies, including partnership bodies. Following changes to the membership of this cabinet. So the recommendations are set out in item 1 with the organisations as shown and the changes between current and future representatives as listed in the table on pages 1 and also pages 2. There is a further proposal which is the last item to do with the Sheffield Town team which is to propose that the number of representatives on the town team is reduced from 2 to 1, which I think reflects current practice rather than necessarily a significant change. May I ask Adrian to present any further items in this report?
Thank you, Leader. I have nothing to add to what you've already said, unless there are any questions from cabinet members.
Can you just clarify that?
It's the Sheffield Town team.
Oh, sorry, I missed that.
Would you like to go on?
No.
Okay. So, in that case, I have summarised the